Here, back with you, Jason Matera, filling in for Jason Rantz here. And amazingly, I am allowed back in the studio. I must have done a decent job, right? Just a modicum of professionalism yesterday for Peyton to allow me back in the studio this week. Or to Rantz to say, you know what? We're going to pull the plug. None of that. So you got me for 3 hours. And we have plenty to talk about. The stack of information, so much going on in not only local politics, but national politics as well. And just a little bit about me. If you're like, who is this guy? Who is this Jason Matera guy? Why should I care what he has to say? Well, I hope you give me a chance. But I've been in journalism covering politics and crime for more than a decade. Lived in D.C. for 10 years right out of college. Covered Capitol Hill firsthand. I'm part of this, Peyton. I have to give some credentials, right? I have to show how I am allowed or even called upon to guest host, but I don't want it to come across as a humble brag either, right? You know, there's
you kind of have to, though. But at the same time, our audience know they trust Jason. They trust Rantz, and so that if Rantz trusts you with the next 3 hours, our audience will trust you as well.
Well, I want the audience to know that Rantz or you didn't go to a tent, stick your head in, and said, hey, do you want a guest host? It wasn't like that. There's some credentials. I mean, a modicum at least of credentials. So I've written a few New York Times bestsellers. I have been nominated for Emmys for my journalism and covering crime with a television show called Crime Watch Daily. So I don't mean that to be. I mean, I know it sounds a little braggadocio. I don't mean it to come across that way. It's just, you know, I think you're in good hands. At least, you know, stable hands over the next 3 hours. You may decide otherwise. But I hope you don't. All right. So there's a lot trending out there. And we are going to get to it.
What's trending in Seattle?
In Seattle, of course. We're starting off in Seattle. There is a professor at the University of Washington. He is an atmospheric science professor. His name is Cliff Mass. Now, Cliff Mass is no conservative Republican. Not at all. He's an individual who believes that man is guilty of warming the planet through the use of fossil fuels. He ascribes to that orthodoxy. However, Cliff Mass is not a radical. He doesn't think the world is coming to an end in, well, it was 12 years, now it's 11 years. Who knows? Who knows? Whatever the next prediction is. He doesn't believe the world is just going to immolate in a ball of fire because of carbon dioxide. I don't know. Cliff Mass is also a believer in carbon taxes. He thinks that there can be a way to levy taxes on the use of carbon dioxide in a responsible way to move people away from it. And now we can debate the merits of those types of programs. I'm laying that out for you just to show this man is not associated generally in line with a conservative or talk radio audience. So why are we talking about Cliff Mass? Good question. Cliff Mass wrote, he has a blog that he writes outside of his domain as a university professor. So this blog is, you know, it's just a private thing he has going on. And he was coming out against the initiative 1631. You remember 1631, thankfully, voted down. And it was to institute a carbon tax. But Cliff Mass said, this carbon tax is irresponsible and it is regressive. Other carbon taxes that he supported in the past was at least revenue neutral. So the amount of the taxes would be lowered in one end and raised in another. So from an economic standpoint, there wouldn't be too much damage involved. Again, you can debate the merits of that, but this man has supported carbon initiatives, just not 1631. Why? Well, he said 1631 was a a massive lob to special interests, that it was just money going to flow into them. The unions, tens of millions of dollars to these, the Native American tribes, other bureaucracies, not to do anything with the climate. In fact, some of these individuals be exempt from a carbon tax, but it would be money pouring into their coffers, which would be later used to help elect Democrats and pursue and engender other social justice initiatives. So the guy was against it. Cliff Mass was, you know what, I'm against this Initiative 1631. And most of the people in Washington State were against it. It was voted down, thankfully. Well, it turns out this was not a position that was went over well with Professor Mass's colleagues in the environmental department. It didn't go over well with the some agitators in the student body. In fact, unbeknownst to Cliff Mass, he was called a racist. He was called a racist for opposing an initiative that was voted down by the majority of people in Washington. Did you vote on that initiative, by the way, Peyton?
I did not.
You did not. Okay. Well, I voted. So apparently I voted against it, too. I must be racist. Who knew? Who knew you oppose carbon taxes? And apparently that's the new racism now. So here is Cliff Mass. He visited the Dory Monson show. It's a sister station over at Cairo. And he's explaining to Dory the hysterical claims and the hyperbolic reaction to his opposition to an initiative.
Well, first, you know, I did a number of these blogs, and the first few, I started getting a lot of name-calling. I mean, there were tweets and, you know, all kinds of emails and messages, and you know, there was a lot of opposition on campus by the environmental left-type folks and the supporters of 1631, and they were calling me a misogynist, they were calling me a tool of the oil companies.
Let's stop there for a second. A misogynist? How is opposing... And you know what? Forgive me. I'm trying to inject some logic here, but these are just buzzwords and epithets that leftists have in their arsenal anytime something they don't like is proposed or someone is responding to it. So there's a refrain of some sort. Oh, I'm not racist, misogynist. But think about it. You're opposing an initiative that is going to be voted on by residents here in the state, and somehow taking the opposition to an initiative is misogynist. As nothing. Now, Peyton, correct me if I'm wrong. But the climate seems to be agnostic when it comes to a person's gender, right? Does the weather fluctuate? The climate patterns fluctuate based off of someone's gender? Or is it agnostic?
I don't believe so. I don't think it fluctuates on based off gender.
No, it's you know, it's gender neutral, right? If there's something that's gender neutral, it's the climate.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Although apparently Cliff Mass is a misogynist. Anyway, he continued to divulge all the nasty incomings his way.
The denier, you name it. They figured that out. I was a racist. I was called a racist, misogynist, Trump's weatherman. I mean, the name calling got quite creative. They were distributing pictures of me with oil drums. So it got pretty excessive. In fact, you know, I had some of the activist students here in the department on campus were calling me a racist for it. And I said, why is it a racist? Well, they said, well, some of the groups that are supporting 1631 are minorities.
Oh.
And since I was criticizing, you know, the 1631 group, therefore I was being racist.
See what the construct the left always sets up. If somehow people of color are on one side, and to assume, right? To think about the embedded racism in that thought processes, that if you are a person of color, that you must ascribe to a certain set of beliefs. That if you are a minority, you must be a believer in carbon tax initiatives. You must believe in leftist orthodoxy when it comes to climate change. You must. or you're not, you know, you, I guess you're not down with the struggle or something. But because this man, and again, I've never met Cliff Mass, sounds like a reasonable, measured person. I probably would disagree with some of his policy. I know I would. Some of his policy prescriptions, but that's fine. We can debate those. There's more from Chris, Cliff Mass coming up because this oh man, this the university, rather than buttress free speech and protect this professor's right to speak his mind, actually tried to shame and embarrass him into silence. So we got that. Jason Matera back with you, guest hosting for Jason Rants. So Cliff Mass, the professor of atmospheric science over at UW, is being targeted by leftist agitators, both in the student body and other professors in his department, because he didn't support a carbon tax initiative. He has supported initiatives in the past, but he wrote this latest one. 1631 was he was opposed, and this was from a blog post of his at the time. He said the initiative hardwires money to certain special interest groups, left-leaning supporters of the measure. A minimum of 10% of the money goes to Indian tribes who are exempted from paying any carbon fee by the initiative. Labor advocates got a $50 million fund replenished annually for worker support programs. And to provide funding to the social action groups punishing the initiative, 35% of the money goes to, quote, pollution and health action areas of minority and vulnerable populations. He says there is more, but you get the message. This is one big slush fund for leftist groups, some of which are exempted from what would be a cumbersome initiative, onerous regulation and tax on the rest of us. So this guy says, you know, I'm opposing it on these policy grounds, and he's a racist. Here is his interview continuing with Dory Monson.
And, you know, in my blog, I did note that some of the groups that were getting hardwired for cash, I mentioned labor was, I mentioned the Native American community were getting 10% off the top.
Yeah.
So I mentioned some of these groups that were getting the money. And so they felt that my criticism of 1631 was therefore racist, because some minority groups were members of the consortium for 1631. They weren't the dominant group.
Right.
You know, most of them were well-to-do white folks, but they felt that was racism. Really, I think they were just using that as a tool.
Yeah. See, the left has props, people you cannot criticize. They put forward. It's never about the ideas behind what is being proposed. It's, well, if you criticize this policy, it's like with immigration. You criticize open borders and think, oh, yeah, the reasonable proposition, there should be some barrier that blocks the illegal entry from one country to another. And somehow that is racist towards Latinos. Of course, it isn't. It is a sensible position to take. In this case, I don't know how absurd it is, because we're talking about global, you know, climate change and policies to address it. And this man who thinks that there should be policies to address it, and he even is being called a racist, because those who would benefit, he's opposed to preferences that would happen if this were ever enacted. And that is racist. Well, okay, so Cliff Mass is being targeted by the leftists on his campus. He's being targeted by the administration. They even hosted what was called a food and controversy session. And it was to allow individuals to come forward and basically shame this man, shame this professor in public, because he was guilty of wrongthink. He was guilty of having the wrong opinion. And how dare he voice an opinion outside of leftist orthodoxy. So we know what the left is. They're all for tolerance. They're all for diversity. They're all for a multiplicity of viewpoints, pluralism, except if you stray away from the reservation. See, it is diversity, but as long as you have uniformity with thought, with everything they agree with. It's the exact opposite of diversity, right? They're not for diverse opinions or diversity. They're for uniformity of thought. They want to coerce and shame and embarrass people like Cliff Mass, who's not even a, you know, conservative Republican, into abiding by their policy preferences. One student, this is a forum in the, you know, food and controversy forum. They were giving out chicken wings, and people were coming and eating. Students. So one student got up and pointed, wagged his sanctimonious finger at Cliff Mass and said he would be held accountable. He would be held accountable. Then the associate, the person who is running this this forum, the Atmospheric Sciences Department chair, a buffoon by the name of Dale Duran, started interrupting Cliff Mass when it was Cliff Mass's opportunity to defend himself on free speech grounds. The university is trying to censor this individual's blog that's not even associated with the university. It's outside. It's the guy's private blog. He's writing on it. Now, do you think if this guy was writing about, I don't know, on his blog, marching in some LGBTQ plus AI, whatever it is, you know, as Dave Chappelle says, the alphabet people, one of their marches, you think anyone would give this? No, this guy would be heralded. Oh, it's for diversity and tolerance. Oh, wonderful. In fact, there were professors in the same department who were using their Twitter and other social media accounts to push the initiative 1631. Were they reprimanded? No. Because they weren't guilty of wrong think. Luckily, this guy, Cliff Mass, is tenured, can say what he wants, but the university is making it very difficult. Because nobody wants to work in a hostile... I mean, this is truly a hostile working environment. Your colleagues sneer at you. You have students crying and saying you're going to be held accountable. You're killing your... You know, you're a Donald Trump's weatherman. Nobody likes to be subjected to that type of hostility on a daily basis. And what does it do? See, it's not about... This guy, Cliff Mass, is... I've never met him, but I admire him because he speaks his mind and he doesn't care about the consequences. But he does know that there were professors, other faculty members, and students who came up to him after this shaming forum. And they said that they were afraid to speak up. They agreed with him, but they were afraid to speak up because they saw what happened to him. And that's what the left, that's what it's all about, making an example of Cliff Mass, making an example of someone, anyone who comes forward and says what they're thinking, if it does not ascribe to the prevailing liberal opinions, then the left tries to make an example out of that person. And they try to, they will besmirch the individual, they will they'll crucify the individual publicly in order for others to see it, so they don't go ahead and follow an example. Because realistically, most of us just want to get along. Like most of it, we don't wake up in the morning saying, "Oh, I'm gonna cause some mayhem. I'm gonna cause a fight today. I can't wait to piss off my colleagues. I can't wait to piss off those." No, you know, very few people are thinking like that. We just want to go about our day. We want to be able to vote the way we want to vote. We want to be able to. Be able to adopt the initiatives in a free manner that we want to vote on, to advocate our ideas without being labeled nasty names. We just, you know, want to go about our daily lives. But what happens is when the left decides that you are no longer in favor with them, they will make an example of you. And kudos to this guy, Cliff Mass. Visit his, I mean, he has a blog, look him up on social media. Let's show him that there are actually those who support his courage. I don't even know where he stands on politics specifically, but I know that he's run up against the hard left and he's taking fire. And for that, I salute him. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Jason Rants today. Man, there was more I had to get to in the trending section. And, you know, we're going to get to it when we come back. I have Robert De Niro is being sued. I have Trump. I mean, Trump is just doubling down and going on the offensive. Telling China and the Ukraine just right in the cameras. Hey, yeah, you got to investigate the Bidens. And man, this Huffington Post reporter admits that Adam Schiff lied to him, right to his face, but says it's okay because, you know, it's we're trying to... We're trying to impeach the president, so, you know, I'll be a hack. It's okay. We got a lot with me, Jason Matera, filling in for Jason Rant. Welcome back. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Jason Rant, as somewhere taking a mini break, getting rest and relaxation. So when that happens, you fill in Jason. So far, smooth sailing. What was that?
It sounded like a computer. Might have been mine.
Okay. I don't think it was mine. I, you know, you could blame guest host for these things, but I don't think I was the culprit there. If you want to get on the None Better Text Resolution Hotline, that's 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. So Donald Trump, what has set him apart, I meant to get this to this in the What's Trending section, but I went a little long. That's okay. So I can just shuffle stories around. So what separates Donald Trump from nearly every other Republican candidate, and one of the reasons why the guy shot up without any political experience and ended up being the nominee and then ended up taking out a seasoned political veteran like Hillary Clinton, is because he doesn't have the Washington political instincts. He has his own instincts, and those instincts are to push back against what he may consider unfair. Republicans, conservatives in Washington, D.C. have been conditioned to apologize, conditioned to acquiesce to whatever narrative is being set forth in the spirit of, they say, congeniality, right? They want to just be friends with everyone, or they don't want to focus on something that is controversial. They know the media is against them. They just want to, you know, apologize and move on. Agree and move on. And we've seen that with many Republican politicians. And unfortunately, I think that is the overriding, having been in D.C. for nearly a decade, that is the overriding mentality of many Republicans there, many conservatives, is they don't want to fight. They don't want to go on the offensive. They would rather take it in the shorts. Donald Trump doesn't take it in the shorts, for better or for worse. I think for better. Doesn't take it in the shorts. So here now he's being accused recklessly of asking or pressuring the Ukrainian president to get dirt on Joe Biden. Of course, that's falling apart because not only the transcripts that were released and the interviews that are going on behind the scenes, there's no pressure that has happened. So you can see Democrats moving towards an obstruction of, he's trying to obstruct and impede the investigation. There's some cover-up involved. Of course, people who covering up don't just release the documents. All right, here you go. And release them rather quickly as well. So Democrats are caught in a bind. But here's where Trump is outmaneuvering them. Rather than backed down, rather than temper any criticism of Joe Biden, he is doubling down on it. So Donald Trump today, in front of the cameras, escalates calls for an investigation into Biden, and then outwardly is asking China and Ukraine to conduct their own investigations into the corruption.
China just started an investigation into the Biden, because what happened in China is just about as bad as what happened with Ukraine. So I would say that President Zelensky, if it were me, I would recommend that they start an investigation into the Bidens, because nobody has any doubt that they weren't crooked. That was a crooked deal, 100%. He had no knowledge of energy, didn't know the first thing about it. All of a sudden, he's getting $50,000 a month, plus a lot of other things. Nobody has any doubt. And they got rid of a prosecutor who was a very tough prosecutor. They got rid of him. Now they're trying to make it the opposite way, but they got rid of him.
And with China, I mean, there's the $50,000 a month payday retainer that Hunter Biden received from the natural gas company over in Ukraine. And then with China accompanying his father when his father was vice president. He's on Air Force Two, flying a, you know, Joe Biden's on a diplomatic mission and Hunter Biden is there. But Hunter Biden is not there for some daddy son time to get along. No. He's been accused of procuring at least $1.5 billion from China. Just so happens Hunter Biden is starting a Chinese private equity fund while his father is in China doing business. This is the type of cronyism and corruption that unfortunately is widespread, but Trump early on said he was going to expose, and drain the swamp became a mantra. So this, him, Trump calling on China and Ukraine to conduct their own investigations, I find funny. But it goes into the mantra, it goes into the theme of the Donald Trump presidency, and that is draining the swamp, no longer doing business as usual, no longer this revolving door, no longer the political nepotism. Where someone like Hunter Biden, who has no skill set aside from getting tossed from the Navy, no skill set, but somehow no knowledge of natural gas, but somehow is on a $50,000 a month retainer. And then somehow starts the guy has no acumen in starting an equity fund, certainly not a Chinese equity fund. And yet is able to solicit allegedly more than $1 billion. Of course it should be investigated. Because if you're using if some of this corruption is legal in that there are no cronyism, maybe unethical, but it's not against the law. However, if Joe Biden was pressuring and put some type of tactic and strategy into helping his son get this money or leaning on, and it looked like he may have done that with Ukraine, lean on a Ukrainian prosecutor at the time, who was investigating possible corruption, if he was leaning on some Chinese official to direct funds towards his son's company, then that actually would be illegal. There's nothing wrong to expose this. And by the way, Trump is the most transparent person I think I've seen in politics. Is he not? You know exactly what he's thinking. You know exactly where he's coming from. He's giving you his thoughts in real time on Twitter, for better or for worse sometimes. Some of those tweets, I'm like, ooh, could have held that one back. But I'd much rather have the transparency. He doesn't hold it close to the vest. This man, I know he hasn't called they scratched the press briefings because they were useless. But this man's always in front of the press, giving his thoughts, answering, and putting Democrats on the defensive. This is not good for Joe Biden, by the way. And I think Elizabeth Warren and some of the other Democrat candidates nipping at his heels right now, because he's not a strong front runner. Most likely he's not going to be advancing. It's especially Bernie potentially bowing out. I know he says he's going to hop back on the campaign trail, but you know, the guy had stents put in. It's a serious procedure, and you can't have a vigorous campaign schedule while you're dealing with heart issues. So you have other Democrats who are nipping at the heels. They are okay with Joe Biden being in the news associated with corruption. Donald Trump has to continue to do what he's doing. And Democrats are secretly, especially the Elizabeth Warren types, are secretly okay with Trump's aggressive approach, because if they can knock Joe Biden, if he can knock Joe Biden down a few notches, well, they can rise up as a comparable or acceptable replacement. It's amazing, though. And I don't know why MSNBC is on. Peyton, MSNBC is on in the studio. Why do we have MSNBC on in here?
Yeah, there's a remote. We can change it.
I will. I'll have to find the remote. We will. There it is. I will change. But I'm watching them. They're just losing their minds, melting down. Oh, Donald Trump out in the open. He's now on camera soliciting the help of foreign governments. Well, you know what? It's normal for the head of state to talk to other heads of state. And especially if they want to uncover some type of corruption. Donald Trump is not saying, oh, you know, find me dirt on my political opponent. He can have conversation. He can get information from whoever he wants. That's not illegal. And yet you have the MSNBC types losing their... Why are they losing? It's not losing their mind because some illegality has taken place. It's there's no laws that have been broken. Why? Is because that crowd is not used to someone putting them on their heels. And I'm sorry, Joe Biden maybe 20 years ago could have fought back in an admirable fashion, but Joe Biden now, 76-year-old Joe Biden, who has to like hold his teeth in so they don't fall out, literally? I'm sorry, that Joe Biden doesn't have all the tools anymore. He doesn't, he's not playing with a full deck of cards. Oh, no disrespect to Joe Biden, he's just an old guy. Trump smells blood. And when Trump smells blood, he's going to exploit and take advantage of the situation. And the media continue to fall. And I'm not saying these are traps set by Trump. And not at all. I don't think he's thinking that far in advance. But just speaking the truth and just being honest and aggressive in pursuit of the truth. Well, the left is just not used to someone who is willing to punch back harder than they've been hit. And that's what we have with Donald Trump. I'm Jason Matera, guest hosting for Jason Rants. A lot more to get to. Robert De Niro in the news. Yes, there's a lawsuit filed against him. Apparently, he's been harassing and discriminating against his female assistant. That and a lot more. Good afternoon and welcome back to the Jason Rants Show with me, the other Jason, fill-in Jason, Jason Matera here with you as Rants is off somewhere. I don't even know where he is. Vegas, you say? Peyton? He's in Vegas.
Yeah, it sounds like Vegas.
Vegas, okay. All right, well, we wish him luck. He's betting. You know what he's betting on?
I don't even know if he's a gambling man.
But he's just in Vegas.
I guess.
Will he share? Will what happens if Vegas stay? Stay in Vegas or will
100%.
Really?
Yeah, unless he loves talking about people on public transportation. So I can guarantee you next week, here's a little tease for next week. The audience is going to get a story about SeaTac Airport.
Yep.
Some type of story, a story regarding his Uber ride, his Lyft ride, or taking Las Vegas public transportation. Let's see, and he's probably going to see a show of some sort or another, and he'll tell us about that. Those are three things to look for. If I was predicting the future, I would put a lot of money on those three things.
A negative experience at SeaTac?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yes, okay. You know what? SeaTac has the TSA pre-check line is obscenely long now. Have you flown out at SeaTac recently?
Yeah, it's horrible.
The pre-check, I travel a lot. A lot. At one point, I was on the road twice a week doing different assignments. And every other air, I think LAX is my least favorite airport. I despise LAX. But SeaTac is creeping up there. You would think your pre-check line. Now I have to probably, eventually I'm going to do that clear. That clear me?
Oh, it's got to be worth it. No matter what the price is on that,
I don't
know
what
it is. Worth
it.
I don't know either.
But I think they should raise the price of TSA pre-check because too many people have it. It's not an expedited line anymore. You have to budget almost a half hour just for the pre-check line. But when it first started, I would get to the 5 minutes, I'd be through the gate. Anyway, those are my SeaTac problems. Painfield, I haven't flown out of there yet.
I haven't yet either. And if you go, and this is a shameless plug for the audience, go check out Jason Rantz's Instagram story at J-A-S-O-N-R-A-N-T-Z.
Were you having trouble spelling Jason?
I was. I forgot the A. Go find it on Instagram. He has already complained about SeaTac on his Instagram story.
Of course.
Without a doubt.
Rightfully so.
Always have to plug his social media.
Okay. So, I do want to get to this Robert De Niro audio, but I'm not going to... Running short on time. There's a reporter for the Huffington Post. His name is Sam Stein. He appears on MSNBC a lot. He's the water carrier for Democrats. I mean, it's a Huffington Post, so that's what you would expect, right? I mean, as his outlook is on the progressive end of the spectrum. So right after this whistleblower, he's not a whistleblower, he's an irritant in the CIA, giving second and third hand information, but whatever, whistleblower, we'll call him. The whistleblower's complaint was filed. You had Adam Schiff appear on MSNBC along with Sam Stein. And Sam Stein asked Adam Schiff if this is the first time he or his committee is hearing about this complaint. And Adam Schiff said, yes, first time. We're going to look into it. Well, that was an out-and-out lie because Schiff's committee has been coordinated before the official the complaint was lodged. Schiff's committee, we now know, was coordinating with this alleged whistleblower. There's, dare we say, collusion involved. So Schiff knew exactly what was around the bend, and yet out and out lied. Well, Sam Stein, realized he'd been lied to, goes to Twitter. And this is the definition of a hack. He goes, Schiff did appear to lie in previously saying that his office had not spoken directly with the whistleblower. But if you care more about this stuff, the lie, than the actual substance of the whistleblower complaint, then you're being a hack. Whoa! You're being a hack if you care or not. The one in charge of a committee, the Intelligence Committee, is being honest, has any veracity to what he's saying. And then you're the hack if you disagree. This guy's been lied to, and he's like, Adam Schiff, it's okay, lie to me some more. I'll take it. I'll take some more in the shorts. This is the hacks we have covering D.C. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Jason Ranch. We'll get to that De Niro audio. The guy sounds like a lunatic, but you probably knew that already. We'll be back.